Tragedies can happen at any time, but it seems especially cruel when they happen when you're on vacation, enjoying a fun place, and such a summertime in the Carolinas, and we want to help prevent tragedies. So when you're out in our Carolina outdoors, one way to do that is to help educate, talk about, and make aware for our listeners, no matter what their pursuit may be. In North Carolina recently, there were 4 deaths in 3 days due to rip currents in the surf. 2 of the deaths were of people attempting to rescue others. And Abby Bennett of the News and Observer in Raleigh has been reporting on some of these tragedies. We have her article posted up on our podcast notes. We wanted to talk to her a bit about these occurrences and how maybe we may best prevent any future tragedies. Abby Bennett, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being on, and of course noted the somberness of the discussion. Will you provide us just the recent background of what's been happening in North Carolina especially, but this has delved into South Carolina as well, and we welcome podcast listeners all over the world. Will you provide us a bit of background of what's been happening with these rip currents this summer?
Absolutely. North Carolina has had about 11 rip current or rough ocean conditions related deaths so far this summer, and we've got a lot of summer left to go. So that number seems really high, but we do have a lot of people at our beaches. Our beaches are nationally, internationally famous, so people come from all over. We have millions of visitors a year. So that number does seem really high, but we do, unfortunately, often have around that number of fatalities per year. And South Carolina actually has not had a death this year, but they have had many, many rescues, just like North Carolina has had.
Well, I think it has been attributed to it is a busy time at the coast. We have had some storms as well. It's just in preparing for you being on with us, Abby, I did discover that rip currents aren't localized just to a stormy, rough surf type of a situation. It can happen during calm times, too, maybe after a storm, and it's really calm, but these currents have occurred. Do you know the instances of the tragedies, the deaths, and the rescues that have happened in the past week or two? Was it calmer weather and calmer surf?
It has absolutely varied, but it's interesting. I just got done speaking with an expert with the National Weather Service yesterday, and he told me that some of the most dangerous times for rip currents and some of the times that we see the most deaths is when maybe there's been a storm far off the coast, and so the weather is not negatively impacted on our beaches, but the effects of that storm are pushed forward to our coast. And so you'll see much larger waves, and you'll see much stronger rip currents, even though it's sunny and beautiful outside. And so people don't necessarily think that the ocean is dangerous because the weather is nice, but there definitely still can be a lot of danger there.
That's interesting that what you mentioned about talking with the gentleman from the National Weather Service. Do you know from talking with him, are rip currents something that they routinely monitor, or is it, you know, do they receive calls and then they'll investigate, or what's kind of their role, or do they just, you know, gather the data to educate the public?
The National Weather Service and the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration do regularly monitor rip currents, and they're constantly trying to improve those forecasts. And you can find on the National Weather Service's website some beach forecasts that include rip current conditions. They normally, every single day, release low, high, moderate risk of rip currents in particular areas so that swimmers can be aware. So they are constantly gathering that information to share with the public, plus tips if you do encounter a rip current as well.
Okay. Wow. That's, you know, that's a good thing to keep in mind. Just, Bill, like what you and I were saying earlier about wanting to educate and, you know, let people be aware is, you know, you don't have to overload yourself with information when you go to the beach. But, you know, just be aware and check that website out and see what maybe the tide forecast is and maybe even where the moon is, because I'm sure all of that comes into play with the pull of the water and the pull of the tide. And and one thing, Abby, that you might have come across in your research, and I'll just ask you about that, is do you know what level of, you know, sandbars and the geography of the ocean floor, does that come into play at all?
It absolutely can. Rip currents usually happen out around the sandbar areas, and they also happen right around permanent structures in the ocean, like piers and jetties, where unfortunately a lot of people do like to spend their time in the water. And so rip currents do naturally form in those areas, and so they can be very, very dangerous areas to swim in.
Abby Bennett is our guest. She's with the News and Observer in Raleigh, and she had a recent article and has been reporting on the rip current tragedies and occurrences that have been going on affecting beachgoers in North Carolina, the Outer Banks, and of course she mentioned the South Carolina rescues that have happened as well. Thankfully, no deaths there. Of course, here on the Carolina Outdoors, we want to recognize Abby and also talk about this so that it can be prevented. And just as Christopher mentioned, we want to go to the beach and have fun and be in the sun and be on the sand and enjoy our beaches. But we also want to be prepped because, as Abby said, these things can be on a calm day and just occur. Per your article, Abby, it appears like many of these things did have lifeguards. One of the incidents were just south of the Johnny Mercer Pier, and lifeguards were on hand as well. Unfortunately, the lives weren't able to be saved, but would you talk about really the general effects of what a rip current is? I know personally it's a 50 to a 100 yard current essentially that takes people out away from the coastline, away from the beach. But I also know that it's a current that will not dunk you. It's not a hydraulic, so to speak, that pulls you down. It just takes you away. Am I right about that?
You are absolutely right. Rip currents are narrow bands of faster moving water, but that doesn't mean that it's a really dramatic difference. I've actually heard them described as sort of like a conveyor belt or a treadmill in the water. So you may be out swimming and not realize that you may be inside of a rip current until you try to return to shore. And you're swimming and swimming and swimming, and you're realizing you're not getting any closer because it may not feel like a dramatic pull, and it is not necessarily a current that will knock you off your feet and, you know, pull you really, really quickly. Sometimes it can match about the speed that you're swimming. Some can be much faster, too, but very often people don't realize that they are part of a rip current and are slowly drifting until they start to return to shore and have difficulties or struggle with that. And then, you know, you have a situation where, you know, that's very scary and you can panic and people get very tired trying to swim. But that's why the National Weather Service and the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration recommend, you know, that you swim sideways, sort of with the current until you're able to break away and swim towards shore.
On your introduction, I said it's easy for us to talk about this on a podcast, a radio program, on land, safe and sound. But a reminder to our listeners, what you just said, I think, is maybe oftentimes what happens is we're having a peaceful swim. You may feel yourself drifting outward and then further outward, and then you start to think, I can't get closer to the beach. I'm going out, and that panic sets in. And just a reminder to, again, our listeners, that that's the way it happens. And it is scary But the solution, really, if you're a strong swimmer, is to swim parallel to the beach until you get out of that current. It will release you, and back to shore you go. Another reminder, and per Abby Bennett's article, we did learn that two of the deaths were of people trying to rescue people who were in distress. And this is from the Red Cross, and you did attribute it in your article, too, is to not try to rescue someone without a flotation device. You need to not use yourself in the rescue portion of it. You need to use anything that's floating to get it to the people in distress, especially
right.
if there's...
It is, unfortunately, I think, when I spoke with the expert, about 30% of the fatalities that the Carolinas have seen since about 2011 have been folks going out trying to rescue other people, which is so admirable, and they were absolutely trying to do the right thing, but it can be so dangerous if you don't have a flotation device or if you are not a strong swimmer or also, you know, if you're just not aware of the rip currents yourself, and that's a horrible tragedy. But it absolutely does happen. Yesterday on Emerald Isle, a ton of people on the beach formed this long human chain to try to rescue people caught out in rough surf.
And that is one of the rules that they say to do, is contact someone else before you try to just rescue someone. And Abby Bennett, thank you so much for your reporting, your articles, and your time with us here on the Carolina Outdoors. You can listen to the Carolina Outdoors wherever podcasts are heard, via jessebrowns.com or on an early Saturday morning via WBT Radio. We'll be back with more after this.